Hello, welcome to Managing MDS. I am Jarosław Masedziewski, and today I will be providing highlights from the 14th International Symposium on MDS in Valencia, Spain. The topic of my presentation and a focus of my research interest is genomics of MDS, and today's presentation will address the issues of future genomics in this disease. What will be required for our clinical daily practice in terms of molecular genetics and genomics in MDS? The objectives of this presentation include to highlight the newest advances in genomics of MDS, to point out towards new developments and applications of genomics in MDS, and to summarize currently available molecularly targeted agents that rely on molecular markers derived from mutation discovered in myelodysplastic syndrome. With the introduction of next generation sequencing and deep sequencing technologies, new discoveries were made in terms of the key pathogenic factors in myelodysplastic syndrome. These include mutations, somatic mutations, and the recognition and appreciation of clonal heterogeneity and clonal architecture and its dynamics through the course of the disease. Initial ancestral hits initiating the pathophysiologic cascades are followed by subsequent hits, making the clonal architecture very complex. Thus, the molecular heterogeneity is derived from the variety of mutations present and their combination, as well as the succession in which this mutation occurs in an individual patient. This heterogeneity on molecular level explains the diversity of clinical courses of patients. This is a very important realization and explains why patients with seemingly similar features might have disease progressing along different trajectories. Thus, the discovery effort included identification of novel mutations, presence in myelodysplastic syndrome, pattern of their occurrence, and combinations that are present in patients. The discovery phase of using next-generation sequencing in MDS is now followed by application phase and identification of suitable clinical applications for molecular diagnostics in this disease. Principally, there are several new applications. For one, mutational diagnostic might help to secure the diagnosis and distinguish myelodysplastic syndrome from possible mimics. This is an important objective tool that the pathologist will have in addition to cytogenetics to make the proper diagnosis of MDS. Second application includes distinction of individual MDS subentities. For instance, myeloproliferative syndrome, myeloproliferative MDS, overlap syndromes from MDS or from different stages and variants of myelodysplastic syndromes from each other, based on molecular profiling. Third, mutations or their combination might convey prognostic implication, and there are several of new mutations that have been identified and older mutations that have been known for years that now provide important prognostic information to a physician which might affect clinical management. In the meeting in Valencia, several examples of this type of applications were given, and thus, for instance, discussion has focused on the presence of spliceosomal mutations and prognostic implications with regard to spliceosomal mutations grouped or individual, and mutation in individual genes. Of course, for in Valencia, similar to other meetings recently, the role of P53 mutation has been discussed with regard to prognostic implications for the future diagnosis, for the future treatment management, including bone marrow transplant. Finally, a great deal of emphasis has been given to targeted applications of molecular genomics. Clearly, certain mutations present in myelodysplastic syndrome constitute very good molecular targets. And while current therapies or traditional therapies have been applied across the board to patients characterized based on their clinical features, more and more the rational application of drugs will include consideration of molecular patterns present in individual patients. Thus, for example, traditional therapies such as hypomethylating agents, erythropoietic agents, might be applied based on molecular profiling and identification factors which might be known to preclude responsiveness or be specific sensitivity markers that would increase the likelihood of a patient to respond to given therapy. In particular, for example, it was important the identification of P53 mutation in some patients who have responded to hypomethylating agents, and thus the presence of P53 mutation, in contrast to the traditional cytotoxic therapy, might not preclude responsiveness to hypomethylating agents, an important finding. Finally, individual lesions, such as mutation in spliceosomal genes, growth factor receptor genes, and others, might be targeted by specific drugs. One of the most important findings presented in the Valencia meeting was the fact that sotatercept, which is a new erythropoietic agent or agent that improves anemia based on blockage of TGF pathway, is particularly effective in patients with SF3B1 mutation in whom the response rates are maximized. Similarly, the nature of this interaction between the drug and mutation is unknown, but clearly, similar as in the case of 5q- and lenalidomide, there is a strong relationship with responsiveness and the presence of a particular molecular lesion. Spliceosomal mutations are, however, specifically targeted by the new class of agents, which are called spliceosomal inhibitors, which utilize the principle of synthetic lethality. Most of the spliceosomal mutations are heterozygous, thus the cells that are affected by these mutations can't handle inhibitors of spliceosomal of splicing the same way as diploid normal cells with wild-type spliceosomal genes, and therefore are specifically sensitive to spliceosomal inhibitors that are currently being developed. Another example known from the past is, of course, a development and current approval of FLAT3 inhibitors in patients who carry FLAT3 mutations. This would be mostly applicable to patients with acute myelogenous leukemia and FLAT3, but some occasional patient with MDS might have FLAT3 mutations. IDH1 and IDH2, we have now specific inhibitors of IGH1 and IDH2 close to approval for the praxis, for the clinical praxis, and thus molecular profiling and identification of IDH1 or IDH2 mutations will prompt application of targeted therapies alone or in combination with hypomethylating agents. The number of targeted agents will increase steadily over the next couple of years, and thus the molecular profiling will, in my opinion, gain more and more of importance. It is important to note that molecular markers based on mutations might be helpful to monitor minimal residual disease and therapy efficacy based on the clonal burden concept, because deep sequencing allows for quantitations of the number or the fraction of cells carrying particular mutations, and targeted agents are likely to decrease this fraction and predict the maximal therapy response on molecular level, as well as propensity for a relapse. The number of targeted agents will grow with multiple development targeting individual genes such as EZH2, DNMT3, TET2, and many others. Thank you very much for the attention, and we are certain that this field of genetics as applied to myelodysplastic syndrome will evolve in the next couple of years. So we expect even new findings as soon as by the next ASH meeting.